Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you.
Oh, come on. You can stand up. You can thank them. This is amazing, the talent, the giftedness that we have on this stage. Wow. So good. Man, you want to talk about pressure. You try to sing like Bono. Man, that's next level. And we're thinking, who can hit those notes? We know one person. So we called her home from college. That's J.C. Spears. Thank you guys so much. If you'd remain standing, we're going to read some scripture together. If you've got a copy of the scriptures with you, go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. So we're in our series called Playlist. If you're new, welcome. We every year at this time, we celebrate our 13 years, and not 13 years every year, but you know, we celebrate our anniversary and 13 years this year. And we like to take songs that are popular in our culture and then filter them through God's word. What does God's word have to say about these songs? And we also talk about our core values. So if you're new, this is a really, really good time to come. And for those of us that have been coming for a long time, it's good to bring us back to center. Why are we here? Like, why do we exist? What are we supposed to be doing as followers of Jesus? This is what I love about our small groups right now. If you're not in a small group, you're missing it. Come on, turn to somebody, tell them, if you're not in a group, you're missing it. If you're not in a group, you're missing it. Because right now, our groups are going through our eight core practices. And we're talking about what it means to follow Jesus. I don't know if any of you have that figured out, but that's like the great question of why am I here? I think every follower of Jesus asks that question. What exactly am I supposed to be doing? And when our groups right now, they're learning about the eight core practices. We talk about those every week. But during this series, we're talking about our core values. It's the eight practices that help us to live out these core values. And we say these, we look at them every week. Will you say these with me? Hope for the heart, healing for the soul, peace of mind, and purpose in the world. All of these are not something we made up on our own. These are all foundational to what Jesus said. It's from the Great Commandment. When somebody asked him, what are we supposed to be doing? There's a lot of laws in the Old Testament, over 600 of them. Which one are we supposed to be doing? I can't figure it all out. The question we all ask. There's a lot of scriptures here. Could you narrow it down for us? And Jesus, I love, Jesus was my favorite preacher because he simplified it. I like this. And here's what Jesus said. Say it with me. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we've been talking about these four core values. Week one, we talked about the God who sees you. And we did, I can see clearly now. Then we followed that up with sitting on the dock of the bay, which was so good. And we talked about the God who sits with you. And then last week, oh my goodness, last week we did Living on a Prayer. Womp, 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 womp. We pulled that off. I mean, Corey Reynolds and his talk box thing that he had, that was like, come on, give some love to him on that. Come on. Well, we talked about the God who hears you. And today we're talking about this song by U2, In the Name of Love. And we want to talk about the God who loves them. Like, you know them. God loves them. It's an interesting sermon today because the song that we did was not the song we were originally going to do. Weeks before the Charlie Kirk assassination, we were planning to do Katrina and the Waves' Walking on Sunshine, which is a fun song. Anybody like that song, Walking on Sunshine? Fun song. Would be a really weird song right now to do. In fact, I think it would almost be inappropriate to do, in my opinion. But what was weird is before even the assassination and all the fallout from that that's come, I had a scripture that I was working through, and I was using that song, Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine, and talking about our purpose in life and walking that out. And it just wasn't fitting. It just wasn't coming together. And pull back the curtain a little bit as a pastor. It doesn't always come easy, okay? I mean, every week, I got to bring something every week. You got to get my best stuff every week. The worst thing anybody ever says to me is, man, pastor, that was the best sermon you've ever preached. Because then I go home and go, I've got to top that one right there. It's like, you know, it's like pitching a no-hitter, and then you got to come back and try to do that all over again. But it wasn't fitting, and so I got with Pastor Eric, our worship pastor. He was playing the keys today, if you don't know him. And I said, hey, this song is not working. I know the band's been, like, practicing and preparing. Is there any way we can change the song? And he said, yeah, sure. And so him and I started talking. Again, this is before the assassination, and talking about what is a song we could do. And so we started looking through them, looking through some of the scriptures I was going to use, and we came upon U2. And I'd like to tell you that it was the Holy Spirit that led us to that, and I think it was, but I also think it might have been a little bit of our love for Bono and U2 that Eric and I have. We're both very passionate about U2, so when we thought of a U2 song, we're like, well, we could do any U2 song, and then we know we can fit that into some scripture somewhere. And frankly, for over a decade now, Pastor Eric and I have been trying to do a U2 song, and it just hasn't worked. So I got the song together, and then I started working through the message. But then the song was great, but the message wasn't really coming together, and I was really getting frustrated. And then September 10th happened, and everything shifted for all of us in our country. And then the fallout after that, the vilifying and the demonizing and the dehumanizing of the left and the right and things that were being said and posted, it's just gotten just really ugly. Man, what happened to Charlie Kirk, where it hits me, is not... politics aside, I was thinking about this morning when I was reviewing my notes, is I woke up this morning and my wife was laying right next to me. And my kids are with me. And this morning, a wife and children woke up and he wasn't there. And that's just not right. His breath was stolen from him. So as we think about that and what happened on September 10th, I realized the scripture that I had. I started asking God what I should say. And you might notice that I've been saying very little online and here because I'm very, very careful about what I say. I think we all need to be careful about what we say. And until the Holy Spirit tells me what to say, I'm not going to say it. I can't tell you how many times I was wanting to post something online that day. The next day. And every time I'd write up a post, God would just say, not now. And I was like, yeah, but I need to say something. He would say, not now. And then I'm trying to figure out what to say, what our response would be, and when should I? Should I maybe preach this on 2 weeks ago or last Sunday? And God just kept saying, not now, not now. And I was really honestly getting frustrated because I felt like I really needed to say something. But then God, who is faithful, if you will just wrestle with him like Jacob wrestled with him, sometimes you got to wrestle with God till you get the answer. We get frustrated. We don't wait on God. You got to wait on God. That's a good word right there. Turn to somebody and tell them, you got to wait on God. You got to wait on the Lord. So sitting at my kitchen table, talking to God, asking him, and just instantly he began to download this message to me, the one I'm going to preach today. He gave me the passage of scripture, and it was one of those moments that he wished he did it every week like this, but he was downloading it so fast I couldn't write it down fast enough. I'm like, slow down. I can't keep up with what you're saying. And I was really kind of getting a little frustrated because I was like, I don't want to forget anything that he's trying to tell me right now. And so that's what I bring to you today is John chapter 8. And this message today, we're going to talk about in the name of love, the God who loves them. And what I want us to do, and I need everybody really listening in, okay, really paying attention to what I'm saying right now. This message is not for those on the left, okay? This message is not like we're just gonna nail the left, and we're just gonna get them. Here it comes, finally, the pastor's gonna say something. And this message is not for the right. Now, it's not, you tell them, Brad. No, this message isn't for the left and it isn't for the right. It is for all of us. Okay, this message, you're going to be tempted while I'm preaching this message to go, oh, I wish so-and-so was here because I saw what they posted online and they need to hear this. No, you need to hear this. And I need to hear this. I had to get it into my own soul, do my own repenting before I could even bring it to you. It's for all of us. Okay, so turn to somebody and say, it's for you and it's for me. It's for you and it's for me. So let's go, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, if you don't have a copy of the scriptures with you, we have free Bibles in the lobby, Lord's Prayer Guide that'll help you out. Encourage you to download YouVersion. It's a great app that a lot of people are on that right now. If you're on that app, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And if you're new to the scriptures, John was one of the disciples, one of the 12, and he walked with Jesus and he observed Jesus and he observed Jesus in this very interesting encounter. And he wrote it down. John chapter 8, let's go to verse 1. It says, as Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and he taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. And they put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. Well, what do you say? Now, they could care less about this woman. Because the scripture tells us they were just trying to trap Jesus into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus didn't fall for it. He stooped down and he wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and he said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again. He wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And then Jesus stood up again and he said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Now go and sin no more. Let's pray as we prepare to hear from God's word. Holy Spirit, come. Be honored in here today, Father. I want to ask you to be praying right now for the people that are around you because you don't know where they stand. What's interesting when we come into the church is we think everybody thinks like us, acts like us, believes like us, and votes like us, and that's just not true. As your pastor, I'm privy to all of that. And I know in this room we have people on the left and we have people on the right. We have moderates, we have conservatives, and we have people who are liberals, and we have all kinds of people that are in this room. We have libertarians and those who stand in the middle. We have people, all different walks of people in this room. And we need to be praying for one another. So let's pray now that we will hear from the Holy Spirit. And then pray, though, for your own soul. Don't just pray for those around you, because God has a word for you today. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and that you would help us in this moment in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. All right, you can grab a seat. So this story, the religious leaders, they catch this woman in the act of sin. And if that's not bad enough, they've got to publicly disgrace her. So they drag her out in front of this crowd, throw her down in front of Jesus, and they degrade her and they humiliate her. And all this is she committed adultery, and now they want to pick up rocks and kill her right in front of the temple, right in front of this crowd. This is crazy. Like when we hear this, we think, I can't believe they did that. Like now, listen. I don't excuse their sin. I mean, she sinned. Yeah, obviously she did that, and she's wrong. But how inhumane to treat somebody in such a way. But I wonder if we are any different. We've all seen what's been playing out in our nation right now. and we're picking up stones and we're throwing them at anyone and everyone that disagrees with us. And the one thing we love to do, especially in the church, is put labels on people. We label them. We label those on the left. You know the labels we use, right? You know the terms that we call them. We label those on the right. You know the terms that are said about them, about them. We label people, anyone who does not act like us, think like us, believe like us, or vote like us. We label them. But what you need to know and understand is this. When you label somebody, you dehumanize them. You strip away their humanity. All of us are created in the image of God. We are all image bearers of God. And if you're taking notes, and I would like for you to maybe do that today, because what's going to happen is you're going to hear me say some stuff, and you're going to go back, and you're going to misquote what I say. And you're like, well, he said that, and I never said that. I want to encourage you, just write some things down. As God speaks to you, write that down. These are things that you can talk about with your friends and your coworkers and your classmates, and things you can talk about in your small groups or maybe with your family. But I want you to write this down. If you hear nothing else today and you write nothing else down, please write this down. At Core Church, we don't label people, we love people. At Core Church, we don't label people, we love people. Why? Because it's what Jesus told us to do. Matthew 22, 39. We love the first part of that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. We're really good at that, church. We're really good at that. Many times we're not so good at the other. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? Great question. That's what one of the religious leaders asked Jesus when he presented that to them. And he said, oh, your neighbor. And he told them a story about a Jewish man who had been victimized and left for dead on the side of the road. Now, what's interesting here in this story, see if you can catch this here. Jesus is preaching to a Jewish audience, to all the Jewish audience. They're all Jews in the audience. And they despise and they hate the Samaritans. So Jesus tells this story and he goes, oh yeah, so this guy gets beat up, he gets left for dead, and this Jewish priest goes by and he sees him and he just keeps going because he's gonna be late for church. And they says, oh, then a temple assistant comes by and he sees the Jewish brother laying dead, almost dead on the side of the road, but he didn't do anything other. And right at this point, the audience is like, that's terrible, that's awful, I can't believe we would treat our Jewish brothers and sisters in such a way. And then Jesus says this, then this despised Samaritan comes by. And you can see the crowd in that moment goes, oh, I know how this is gonna go down. I bet I know what he did. And Jesus flips it on him and says, this despised Samaritan who doesn't like the Jewish people, steps over and ministers to this Jewish man. What is Jesus saying in that moment? What he's saying in that moment is that's who you're called to love. Your neighbor is the person who doesn't act like you, think like you. Your neighbor is the person who doesn't believe like you. Your neighbor is the person who doesn't have the same sexual orientation that you do. Your neighbor is the person who doesn't vote the way that you vote. See, one of our core values is one that we say often. It's the last one we talked about today, and that is purpose in the world is found in Jesus. But what is our purpose? Our purpose is really simple, and it's something we said every Sunday at the end of our service for the past 13 years. And this is it. You say this with me? At the core of who we are is loving God and loving people. All people, not just my people, not just the people who vote like me, think like me, act like me, or believe like me, but Jesus calls us to love all people. So turn to somebody right now that came with you that maybe you know and just say, hey, he said I gotta love you. He said I gotta love you, I gotta love you. Now turn back and say, and you have to love me. And you have to love me. Yeah. It just got real in here. It just got real. So how do we respond in love? Like how should we do that? What does it look like? Because I know as I've been speaking, you're all formulating your view of what it means to show love. But what I want to ask you to do is step back from that for a moment, open yourself up to what God might want to say to us today, and let's look and see what Jesus did. Because if you are a follower of Jesus, you have committed to become like him and to act like him and to do what he did. So let's see what he did. Let's go back to John chapter 8. Look at verse 6. So the religious leaders threw this woman down, and what did Jesus do? He stooped down and he wrote in the dust with his finger. When the religious leaders, when they took up rocks, Jesus didn't join them. What's interesting is there is a study that was recently done on college campuses. They interviewed 68,000 college students. And three of the schools are from right here in Oklahoma. And what they found is 34% of college students right now say that violence is acceptable to stop someone you disagree with. That's Oklahoma, by the way. Three schools in Oklahoma. What is happening? What's happened to us? Violence is not the answer. But I would tell you that anger is not the answer either. Belittling others is not the answer either. Hatred is not the answer. Yet this is what's happening in circles everywhere. You've been at work. People circle up. And the things that are being said about them. You've been in circles on your campus. And what students are saying. You've been with friends. You've seen it on social media. You're just like, I can't believe the things that we are saying about one another. And God, help us. It's happening in the church. The one place it should never be happening. Like, we're circling up in the church and we're talking about them. Aren't we glad we're not them? And can you believe them? Can you believe what's happening right now with them? And we're pointing this finger instead of looking into our own souls. And what I want to do is I want to implore you to put down the rocks. Drop them. Don't label people. Love people. This song that we did today by U2 was written by Bono, and it was written as a tribute to Martin Luther King Jr. I love MLK, and read his biography. It was amazing to read his story. And his whole mantra was nonviolence. His whole mantra was love and compassion and mercy and grace for those who oppose you. You can look for any quote or any comment by Martin Luther King Jr., and you will never find him saying something negative or disparaging about those that opposed him. I dare you to search the internet. You won't find it. Because all he talked about was loving others. In fact, this is one of the things that he said. Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. So our men gather for prayer every Friday morning at 6:30. It's just a small group of guys that I get with. I'm so thankful for these men. We've just become really close. And I love these men because they stand in the gap and they pray for you. We pray for our families. We pray for our city. I know that I couldn't do it without these men. And by the way, it's not a closed group. Any man, Friday mornings at 6:30, you can come and you can pray with us. And I would encourage you to come. But one of the things we do in that time is we recognize that we have to walk in humility as men. And at the end of every time that we pray together, we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us full of the fruit of the Spirit. And I pray over these men and just did this just on Friday. God, may we be people of love. Fill us full of your love. When there's hate in this world and anger in this world, may we as men show love. God, fill us full of joy. There's just so much bitterness right now. God, help us to be men of joy. God, help us to be men of peace. There's so much division, God. We don't want to add to the division. We want to be men of peace. God, help us to be patient. Oh, man, God. Oh, man. Help us, God, to be patient. Help us to be kind. So much hatred, so much vilifying and demonizing. God, help us to step into these circles and help us as men to be kind. Help us to do good, God. May everything we post, everything we do, may it be for the glory of God. Help us to be faithful to your word and faithful to whoever you put in front of us, because it might be hard. And I say, help us to be gentle men, like real gentlemen. Help us to be gentle in our responses. And then, this is the hard one for all the guys, help us to show self-control. Help us with our words. Because we know if we don't have love and we don't have self-control, nothing else is gonna be there. So what I wanna ask you is, thinking back over the last couple of weeks, does that reflect your actions and your words? Love. My response has always been love, joy, peace. I brought peace. Have you brought peace where there's conflict? Have you been kind? Have you showed self-control? We all have to look at ourselves. Proverbs 18:2 says this, "Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions." I'm a father of boys. I got three of them, and I love boys. I've got a little girl too, but man, I love boys. How many of you are parents of boys, or you have a brother? Would you raise your hand? Parents of boys, you got a brother. Okay, a lot of us. Okay, so big difference between boys and girls. When girls fight, it can get pretty scrappy and pretty interesting, the things that they say. But boys, when they fight, there usually ends up being physical violence involved in some way. You know, there's some punching or hitting or kicking, or and kicking in inappropriate places. You know, I mean, just all of that goes down. And I'll never forget my boys. They would come to me, and one of them would be saying, "Dad, Dad, Dad," and they just, okay, whatever. And they go, "Dad, Dad, Dad, he hit me, he hit me." And I'm like, "Okay, all right." And he goes, "Yeah, but he called me stupid." And I'm like, okay, and then you have to do the dad thing. I'm like, okay, listen, first of all, we don't call anybody stupid, okay? And then, okay, and we don't hit any, we don't hit just because somebody called you a name, right? And they're like, yeah, okay. They get, and why do I have to do that? It's because they're immature. Because they're immature. They don't know how to act. They don't know what to do. Listen, your response in this season and in these times reveals your spiritual maturity or your spiritual immaturity. And I'm not exempt from that. These past few weeks, I picked up some rocks. And I didn't think I had any rocks in my hand. I thought I was justified by the rocks that were in my hand. But then God began to speak to me about the rocks that I had in my hand. See, because the thing that gets under my skin is when I see Christians, people who claim the name of Jesus, posting the dumbest stuff online, the meanest stuff online, the cruelest stuff, where they're the very people we're called to reach, that they're vilifying, demonizing, and dehumanizing. Like, how are we going to reach anybody if you can't love them? And that's all we do, is we're just spitting on them. And You can call it a righteous anger. I did not have a righteous anger. I wanted to go off on them. I can tell you like three or four times, I'm like, oh, I am so commenting on that. I get my thumbs going. I'm writing it up and I'm like, that's good. Well, that's really good. Take that. And thank God for the Holy Spirit and self-control that I just hit delete and I didn't send it. So here's these religious leaders. And this is what they're doing. They're labeling this woman. They're standing over her. They're pointing and they're posting online. Look at what she did. Look at who she is. Can you believe that? And what's Jesus' response? He doesn't label her. He loves her and he gets down in the dirt with her. See, you can't love from a distance. That's why we label people. But when you get up close to people, it's hard to label people you love. And when you get down in the dirt with people, you begin to know their story. And it might be a little bit messy down in the dirt, but we got to get close. And that's what Jesus did. So look at verse 7. It says, they kept demanding an answer. So what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do, church? He stood up and he said this, all right, but let the one who's never sinned throw the first stone. So what do we see here? Don't miss this. Jesus took a stand. Jesus took a stand. He says, all right, throw the stones. What's he saying in this moment? You're right. The law, the Old Testament law, it absolutely says that you are correct. And yes, this woman has been caught in sin. And here's the thing you need to hear. We must be uncompromising on sin and evil and wickedness. We must stand for biblical truth. But there's a right way and a wrong way to stand for biblical truth. Jesus, in this instance, what we see is he stood with truth and grace. Now, when I was in my 20s, which was just a couple years ago, so I was on the radio and doing a morning show, and my direct supervisor was just not a good guy. I'll just leave it at that. He was very, very difficult to work with. It was very hard on all of us that were on the air. And it just wasn't right, honestly. It just wasn't right what he was doing. And so I was like, I've had enough of it, and I'm going to call him on it. And so I asked for a meeting with our general manager. And so here I am in my 20s, and I go in there, and my morning show partner, who's my best friend at the time, John Taylor, he goes in the meeting with me to back me up. And we get in this meeting, and I mean, I just let my supervisor have it right in front of my general manager. I mean, I am going off on him. I mean, everything he was doing wrong, I was just pouring it out. It was just like venom. We get out of that meeting, and I felt really good. I got out of there, I was like, yeah. And my friend John, as only a friend can say, he looks at me and he says, Brad, just because you're right doesn't mean you have to be a jerk about it. He didn't use the word jerk, by the way. He used a little more colorful word. See, we want to say that we are right in what we're doing and what we're saying, that somehow we think that Jesus stands on the right or that Jesus stands on the left. But I want to tell you this, Jesus doesn't stand on the left and he doesn't stand on the right. The cross stands in the middle. With one hand stretched out and a nail in his left hand. And his right arm stretched out with a nail in his right hand. We all put him there, the right and the left. But he stretches out his hand and offers grace and mercy and forgiveness to all humanity. This is what he's doing in this story. Don't miss this in this story. He's standing between the religious leaders and the woman, and he's offering grace and mercy to both. What Jesus is doing in this moment for us is he stands in the middle, and he's offering grace and mercy to all of us. I think the most powerful moment in the Charlie Kirk memorial was his wife, Erica. I couldn't believe she spoke. I do a lot of funerals, a lot. I can't think of a time that a husband or a wife ever was able to get up and say anything. And I totally understand that. And I say, I get it. It's just too hard. She comes out in front of not just hundreds of thousands, but millions of people watching. I just can't imagine that for her. And then she goes there. those of you that watched it. She started talking about the young man that took her husband's life. And then she starts talking about Jesus. And she says, you know, Jesus said this from the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then she paused. And she's kind of gathered herself and she said, I forgive him. Wow. That's what love looks like. Doing the impossible. She was only modeling what Jesus modeled. Over and over again in scripture, Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, bless those who curse you. Like nobody lived this out better than Jesus. In the song, it says, one man betrayed by a kiss. Did you catch that in the song? You know who that is? It's Jesus, betrayed by Judas. He would go to the cross, but it was on that cross that he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. So we see in this story, John chapter 8, the accusers, they just slowly put down their rocks and they began to walk away. And then Jesus turns to the woman who remains. He says, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Like the very person the religious leaders wanted to stone, Jesus came to save. I think the enemy has deceived the church. We have been deceived by the enemy. We're at war with the wrong enemy. He's got us off mission right now. He's got us throwing stones at the very people we're called to save. What are we doing? We must stop. We must put down our rocks. I mean, we've been talking about revival, how revival, we've been praying for revival, and I've been telling you, revival is here. Do you want in on it? Been talking about revival breaking out on college campuses all across our country. And just a few weeks ago, it was in Norman at Lloyd Noble Arena. 9,000 students gathering, worshiping, praising, giving their lives to Jesus and being baptized. And I'm like, does anybody understand the significance of that? Do you know what just happened? Like revival just landed in Oklahoma. Yeah. Like you should get excited about that. But man, did you notice it? Did you pay attention? Do you know the ramifications from that moment? 9,000 students on fire for Jesus, and they're not gonna stay in Norman. They're gonna go all across Oklahoma, across Texas, across Kansas, across Missouri, and all across this country and this world with the fire of God in their belly. Come on now, that is amazing. And the devil wants to stop that and kill that in its infancy. He doesn't want revival to break out. He wants us to get off mission. We've been talking about this is the year of harvest. We're believing God for 1,000 baptisms by 2033. And we're challenging everybody. Everyone reach one. Come on, turn to somebody and say, who's your one? Who's your one? Who is your one? Let me tell you what this moment is all about. This moment is all about this right here. This is our wall in our lobby. These are the names of your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. Just shut all the lights off. All of them. That's what it's about. And I want to tell you, no elected official is going to save them from an eternity that awaits them. Hell awaits them if we don't go to them. And just because we elect the right person, that's not going to save their soul. Listen, we can enact laws or we can retract laws. Good on us. But listen, if that's all you're fighting for, listen, putting a law in place is not going to change the human soul. Being conservative or being liberal, that you're misguided. Yes, believe in your principles. Vote for what you want to vote for. You know, work hard for the laws in our country. I'm not saying do any of that stuff, but I'm saying make your priority the cross. When Jesus was asked right before his execution, he said this. He said, oh, my kingdom is not of this world. So why are we trying to do that? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Listen, we are fighting for the souls of men and women. That's what this is about. We've been dehumanizing and vilifying, and it's time to stop. It's time to not stand on the left or the right. It's time to stand in the middle. It's time to stay. It's time to put down our rocks and take up the cross, because the souls of these men and women are counting on us. Do not be deceived by the enemy who is trying to get us off mission. Don't label your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers. Don't label them. Love them.
We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.